Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here again this morning, and like I indicated last week, didn't quite get finished with the message last week, so we're going to continue with part two of Do You Believe? And it was found in Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 11. And we read these, don't necessarily have to read these verses again, but here they are. Just put them on there and let you go through them. And hopefully, if you had this past week got a chance to read some of them. But do want to look at this verse here, 16. 6, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. And one of the things we'll get to is, what is the belief? What is belief? When we say we believe, what does that mean? It says he believed in the Lord and counted it to him for righteousness. And the question that was posed in our sermon last week is, do you believe? It's good to know that Abraham believed, but do you believe? One of the things we saw in when it says Abraham believed, that his belief was such that it caused him to do something. You know, belief isn't just I believe and that's the end of it. You know, I'm going to get to the sermon, but again, it caused God, when Abraham believed, God called him to do something. That was to leave his family, go to some place he didn't know where he was going, but just get up and go. And again, when God, you really believe God, I don't know about y'all, but that means God got a calling. Brother Ron, now, he said God believed, and see, God, he found out God's calling for him to go into ministry in the convalescence home. Minister, Pastor T.A., you know, found out that his calling was to leave his home church, come here, start this Bible study, and eventually got open, brought together a church because of his belief. And if you were in a Sunday school lesson, you'll see that in your life, you're going to be going through various circumstances, various situations, and God will say something to you through those circumstances that you will have to say, you should say yes to. And the question is, what is it that God is saying to you? And what is your answer? What is going to be your answer when God puts that call upon your life? Will you be like Abraham and believe God, and so you leave your country and your people and your father's household? Ooh. Will you go to a land that you don't really know, but just a land of promise? Will you believe that God can take something that you are nothing or nobody, and God said, I'm going to make you a great nation? Why would God suddenly call Abraham and tell him he's a nothing or nobody and say, I'm going to make you a great nation? God says he's going to bless you. How many of y'all believe y'all are being blessed and will be blessed by God? You know, that's part of our blessing, when you say it's not just salvation, but it's a blessing beyond salvation. It's a blessing here on this side of life. Ooh, make your name great. See, we got some works to do, so God wants to make our name great. Therefore, we got to be careful what our name represents. Wow. You know, Pastor T.A., he got to carry himself in such a way because he's wearing the title Reverend T.A. West. That's a name that's saying something. So he's got a call on his life, and his wife does too. That he's got to walk in such a way that he can be a blessing to other people. And And so do he's being blessed. T.A. and Yvette are being blessed because they walked out in belief in God. And because they're following in the footsteps of Abram. That's what all of us are going to do when we become saved. We're walking in Abraham's footsteps. Footsteps of belief. Footsteps of faith. And because we are blessed, it says he's going to bless others. We've heard some testimonies today about we're hearing how grandmothers and mothers and great-grandmothers walked in such a way that they were blessings to the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Sister, I know a lot of you around here are telling about your testimony about what God is doing in your lives of your children and grandchildren. That's because God is blessing them because of you. Ooh, that's a heavy burden. You know, and guess what? You can stop that blessing anytime you want to. Just don't fall again. And remember, just like God says, I'll bless your children's children, but God also say there's a curse. He will curse your children. Well, you know, there's a generational curse. That's real. When we don't walk faithfully with God, we suddenly set in motion a generational curse that will be upon your children, children, children. Woo, Lord have mercy. And besides, you know, how many of y'all been in a situation where people have done you wrong? They have done you wrong and you feel upset about it and you say, I got to get revenge. But God says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And this way he said, I'll curse those who curse you. See, so just leave it in God's hand. That's what belief is all about. So this is what Abraham. And you know what? The greatest thing about Abraham's belief is we're all blessed. Not just, but the whole world got blessed and is being blessed because of Abraham's belief. And I talked last week about the footsteps that Abraham had to go through, being separated by his family, having to go through a famine, having to travel to Egypt, having to lie about his wife. He had to fight to rescue his nephew Lot. And lastly, doing something he wasn't supposed to do was to get with Hagar and producer Ishmael. And you know the fruit of that was they've been fighting and still do fighting in Egypt, in the Middle East today, because Ishmael and Isaac. So again, you got to be careful about your belief. Now I want to start off with the second half of the sermon, which is, what about the fruit of Abraham's belief? You know, a lot of times we don't realize our faith, our belief system, is supposed to produce fruit. This isn't just a belief. And see, we look at it, well, I believe, and therefore I'm going to heaven. That's all I need to worry about. No, 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 no. It's more than just salvation. It's supposed to produce some fruit on this side of life. Remember God said, you know, by your fruit you shall know them. And God said, if Jesus, remember the scripture is that, if you ain't bearing fruit, what good are you? I just rip you up and get rid of you. So God expects us to produce fruit. And one of the things that we find out in Abraham's fruit of Abraham's belief was he went from being called Abram to Abraham. Right. And Abraham, how many of y'all know what Abraham means? What's the name Abraham mean? God changed his name to Abraham. Come on, some of you Bible scholars, you know. I know y'all know that. Remember God said, I'm calling you Abraham because you're the father of many people, many nations. So suddenly Abraham, God said, no, I told you, and I'm putting it into action. Your belief allows me now to change your name from Abram to Abraham, the father of many nations. And then he says, you know, your belief allows you to get a son, Isaac, a son of the faith. And it was the faith, he says the son of faith, because remember, this son comes about when Abraham Ham is 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And so he changed Sarah's name to Sarah because she at 90 years old ain't none of y'all 90. So what about you, Sister Claudia? Some of y'all are closer than in your 80s or 70s. What about if you suddenly became pregnant? And you ain't never had a baby. And you suddenly find yourself pregnant. And you, I mean, I'm not a woman. I ain't never been pregnant. But y'all sure let me know that being pregnant is not an easy thing. I was married, and my wife, she would let me know and how discomfortable it was. And I see women today, they let you know that child, that child in their belly is not easy. And I, when I get a little weight on me, I find it discomfortable. So I know what it must be. When you put on that much weight, your back is hurting. I mean all that. And then when the baby get ready to come, all that pain and all that. So I don't know. I'm just going by what I was told. So this is a woman that's 90 years old going through that. 90. But again, this is the fruit of Abraham's belief that God could do this. Even Sarah thought, and Abraham thought, wait a minute, God, I'm 99 years old. She's 89 years old. She ain't never had one. And you say something you're going to give us, allow her to become pregnant? And she laughed about it. But what happened after she took God's word? She was okay with it. Can you imagine being 89 years old, and you getting the first time getting to have a baby? How would you feel? Would you feel... She's actually rejoicing because she said, I'm going to be able to experience the joy of giving birth. Woo! You're going to take away this curse that I feel I had upon me? Oh, wow. This is what real belief is all about. It ain't just saying I believe, but it's actually bringing something into fruition. It's tangible. It's real. Our belief in God is supposed to produce something serious. And one of the things is that one of the things that Abraham has to deal with in his belief is that God had told him, you're going to have descendants as many as, but God warns him and lets him forewarns him that before they get to the promised land, they got to go to Egypt. And Egypt, your descendants are going to be in bondage. But remember, that bondage was going to be for 400 years. Now imagine, you got a son, Isaac, everything's good, and God's going, but then God tell you, guess what? The bad thing is, your descendants going to be in bondage, going to be slaves. This is what God is telling. And he's got to be okay with that because, and then God tells him, but don't worry about that. I got that handled. Because guess what? While they're in bondage, guess what? They're going to grow. They're going to multiply. Because remember, they got to go and take a land, a promised land that's filled of all these people. How many was Isaac's descendants, who was the son of Abraham, how many were they when they went to Egypt? There's only 70. Can you imagine 70 people trying to go and take a whole nation and be able to fill a whole nation and own it and everything? God said, no, y'all not ready. Ain't enough of y'all. So he purposely sends them to Egypt, and they grow and multiply. And you know what? Part of the thing about being in Egypt, they got harshly treated. They was laboring hard. And see, that's building up their muscles. See, they didn't know that God's building up their muscles. God's building them up. God's making them a hard, harsh people. That God making them be very vigorous, because when they come out, you got to go do something you ain't never done before. So God makes them as numerous as the sky. And then, lastly, after 400 years, God fulfills that promise. the belief of Abraham allows God to fulfill his promise. Say, you're going now to take the promised land. And see, when I look at us today, now think about God says, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive it. He made that same promise to us that he makes to Abraham. I'm going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to give you a land that's overflowing. And God says, after he releases them from Egypt captivity, he said, now you're going into the promised land and to possess it. You know, when I ask people, do we believe? It's interesting some of the answers I get. This week I've been especially on my job asking, you know, some of the people that, do you believe? That's a very interesting question because it's in no context. Do you believe? And a few of them are Christians and they say, oh yeah, I believe. I believe I'm saved. Okay. But what does that mean that you saved? I mean, what is it that you say you believe in? And first of all, let's make sure we understand what believe means. Because, is that me? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, because sometimes I do that. Okay, believe. It means to accept something as true, feel free, feel sure of the truth of it. You know, when you look at belief in that context, today, belief is a very interesting situation today. Let's take our nation. We got a president of the United States that now says, belief in what we believe, belief is what he says it is. He's saying to believe, you need to believe that everything else in the world, all the other news sources and everything else is wrong. And the only thing right is Fox News because they are faithful to him. That's what he's saying. That's essentially what the devil is trying to tell us. He's putting an okey-doke on us. He's saying, hey, y'all believe that? But look at the rest of the world. Everything else about the world is telling you that. Mm-mm, that ain't so. You're saying that you believe Jesus got up out of the grave and resurrected, and where's your proof? All right, how many of y'all got proof that Jesus rose from the dead? Where's your proof today? Okay, you got in the Word. Okay, but that's just the Word. Okay, but those are witnesses. Are we here? Can we ask him today? Are they here today that we can ask them? So we have to say we believe, and we're saying we believe this stuff, but what is that? How are you sure are you of what you believe? Then we look at belief also being, that's what Ron was saying, we got to accept the statement of a witness. And he says, there were 500 or more witnesses that testified that Jesus was risen from the dead, that he rose, that they saw him walk around in the flesh. Okay? And reason Ron said is we can guarantee because it's like any other record. You know, when they go to court and they ask people to get on the witness stand, a lot of times they say, well, according to the police report, the police report says such and such and such can happen. And if it corroborates what the witness says, then they accept it as truth. And it says, okay, well, that's validated. You know, it's been validated. And remember when Jesus went to trial? Remember them witnesses that were against him? What? They couldn't corroborate their statements, right? But again, belief. And then lastly, let's look at belief as being, this is where we are, having faith, especially religious faith. And that's what we generally consider when we say, do you believe? Well, here we are, church, today, 2019, and we look at us, and we say, do you believe? We got a wide spectrum of beliefs in the body now, don't we? You know, we got all these different issues that are dividing us. And so, you know, it's like, if we believe, why is it that we don't have the same unity in the faith? What is stopping us to have that same unity? So again, it's not just do we believe, it's what is it that we are believing? What is the answer? How do we answer is, again, do we believe? Like I said, how many of y'all go and ask that person, or have you ever asked anybody? Have you ever asked that? Have you ever gone up and asked anybody, do you believe? I think one of the greatest challenges to us is that we're afraid to go out and ask somebody, do you believe? Or even go up there and talk to them about our faith, our belief. And the question is, why is it that we don't do that? Are you afraid of doing it? Sometimes, yeah. See, so if it's a matter of not being adequate, what does that mean? If you say you're not adequate, what do you have to do? It means it can't use that. Should you or can you use that excuse with God? Remember, on Judgment Day, you're going to have to thank for God for what you did, what you saved life. That's what a lot of Christians don't understand. Once you get it saved and witness and say, I believe in Jesus, God told the disciples, y'all ain't supposed to be sitting around here just doing nothing. There's a call on your life. And when the thing is, like say, we say, well, I can't do that. I don't want to do that because I don't know how. I remember when I was in college, and I one of the things I ran into with that same thing. I'm with college students. You know, when you're in college, those college students have a lot of different belief systems because you got people come all over the world. The Scientology, the this and that, the cults and all kinds of things. And so one of the things God put on my heart that I wanted to be a witness. I mean, I wanted to go out and do evangelism. And so he had me get connected to this group called the Navigators. And that was the whole purpose of us, to teach us how to do evangelism among the college students. And so that meant that I had to go do some learning. I mean, we met on a weekly basis, studied lessons, so we would understand what our faith is enough to go and we can share with others. And so when you say you believe and you ain't going out and sharing that belief and you say, it's because I don't know, that's not good enough. I'm just going to be point blank. That's not good enough for God. That's good enough for man, but for God, that ain't good enough. Because remember, God saved us. God owns us. He is Lord, and he's in control. And in our Sunday school lesson, let's go back to that. It's for you who weren't there. It was about this minister. Him and his wife, they went to a mission conference, and suddenly God put it on their heart. They felt they were going to go do missionary work. And so they prepared themselves, they applied, and they thought they was ready to go. But they weren't, because God said it's not time. But at least they applied and they prepared. So again, all of us here got to be prepared to go out there and do some missionary work. We prepare to go out there and confront people that have different beliefs. And being prepared means that we need to read out, like Ron said, we need to be able to read our word. And see, just by reading your word, you'll find that you get filled up with the scriptures so that you ain't got to worry about, did I have a special script? Because don't you know, like Jesus said, they ain't got to worry about what you're going to say, what you're going to, because when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will teach you and bring to remembrance those things which you know. So again, you need to saturate your life with this word so you can say, just like if you're a parent nowadays and you got kids, do you have to wonder what you're going to say to your kids? No, because you've been prepared, right? Generally, it's because your parents taught you what they taught you or what you read or what you experienced, you're going to tell them, right? So why is it that we feel that we can do that as parents, but they can't do that as Christians? You know, through our experiences, you know, as a Christian, how many, don't you have experienced some good and bad things? And again, those experiences, like say, shape, and God is talking to you through the experiences. You read the word and God is talking to you through the reading the word. You know, you have conversation with others. And you know, one of the greatest things you'll find out when you witness to people about your belief, it sharpens you. It makes you dig deeper and firmer and firms up your belief in your God. And it helps you find out how more easily you can express. Because, you know, sharing the gospel, the good news, is probably one of the easiest things to do. Believe it or not, it is. Because people, a lot of people don't know much of anything. So when you come to tell them, they ain't going to know. There's some that's hardcore, and that's when I think we figure we don't want to teach because there's going to be some pushback. How many of y'all don't want to talk to people because you're afraid of the pushback? Yeah, that's a lot with a lot of people. But you know, again, when I go out there and talk to people, I ask them, what do you believe? How many of y'all say we believe in God? You believe in God. Well, what does that really mean? When you go and tell some person you believe in God, what are you saying? Can you articulate that, or can you make it clear what it means when you say, I believe in God? And on to do that, you got to know yourself what that means, right? How many of you know what that means to you, that I believe in God? How many of y'all know it? How many of y'all know what it means? Do you really know what it means? So, okay, we know. Okay, so that answers that. Then what do we believe about God? So, okay, we believe in God, but what is it that you believe about God? That's another issue. What is it that we really believe about God? See, I can tell you I believe in God, but then I got to be able to explain to you what I personally know about God. What is it that I truly believe about God? Because, you know, I say I believe in God, but I believe in that tree being God. Or I believe in the moon, the stars being God. Or, you know, I believe in God, but you know, the God I believe in doesn't really love me. And so that's the next question. Do you believe that God loves you? See, I don't know about y'all, and I'm 2 years old in front of me. I know how wretched a person I am. I know how messed up. I know the things I have done wrong, the things I still do wrong, the things I probably will do wrong. And yet God says, I love you. God, that's nice to hear, right? But how many of y'all really have a tough time accepting that? How many of y'all really have a tough time? Thank you, Sister Irene. She said, honey, she said, I have a tough time. And I tell you, for a long time, I had a tough time with that. I had a tough time. I think one of the toughest things as a newborn Christian, even as a Christian, that we get hung up on the fact of whether or not God really loves me. Because I don't love myself. If I don't love me, how can God love me? And one of the things that I finally had to go back to is when I look at John, where Jesus says the two commandments. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So God is saying, you got to love him. That means I've got to really open myself up. I really got to get rid of all the boundaries and barriers I put up in my relationship. And then I was trying to love others. And see, we do that. How many of y'all try to love others as you love yourself? Yeah, you do. But before you love others, you got to learn to love yourself. See, that's the thing. We hear that. We say, that means I got to love them now, put myself back. No. That means you got to take priority in loving yourself so you'll be healthy enough to love others. See, so therefore when it says, do you believe God loves you? You should say, yes, I believe God loves me. Not because of anything I've done, because he said it. I believe in God, so I have to believe the statement he says, I love you. Oh, I'm getting a little bit over time. Okay. with that statement, I said, I believe God. Then I have to believe the statement God made, says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So God's saying, I love you because you believe in me. See, that's what it means. Do you believe God? You believe that God loves you. And again, ain't got nothing to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with whether I'm right or wrong or how. God loves me in all my mess. Woo! And then, again, one of the things we have, but God loves me, but would he bless me? loving, being loved by God and being blessed by God is two separate. Okay. 3 minutes. Point three. Okay. Part three. Okay. Are we going to? No. we got to do a part three. Okay. Let me just finish up these two points and then we. And see, one of the things I found out with me and with most of us of believing that God blesses us and favors us. He favors us. He favored Abraham. And again, I kind of remind myself and others that we are the offspring of Abraham. We've been adopted into that family of faith. And God says, I bless Abraham, children. I'm in one of them lineages. It's been a long time. But God says it's going forever. God says he blessed Abraham's seed forever. And so when I get adopted into that, I get adopted in that favor line. I get adopted in that line of being blessed. And so I got to walk around with the attitude I thought that I'm blessed. I keep reminding myself, I'm blessed. Even when I'm going through the circumstances I'm going through, I'm blessed. Even when I feel, a lot of times we try to go by, I don't feel blessed. Anybody being feeling, I'm blessed. Get rid of the thought about it. That's exactly because God said it was. And then lastly, this is the last point for today. I think, no, that was the last point because again, that was it. Point three. But again, I just want us to really get an understanding about believing in God. What the blessing, I mean, how awesome that is. That is truly awesome. And a lot of times I think we take that so little for granted, but no, it's serious. This is big. I mean, that's not, I walk around like, I'm that in a bag of chips. I remember I'm sure that I remember I was starting my business, right? I ain't got a penny to my name. I'm suited and booted, and I'm walking like I got $1 million. And this homeless person stopped me. And he said, hey, can you? I'm living in a shelter, too. And he stops me and asks me to give him some money. I said, I ain't got no money, but I got a rich daddy. And he said, you do? He said, you get? I said, no, my dad is rich. He owns it all, but I don't have any money right now, but I'm believing he takes care of me, you know. So, and so that attitude you got to have when you're saying that you blessed, you got God's favor. The circumstances around me do not stop me from feeling and believing I'm blessed. So we as God people got to do. So I'm going to stop right there. Oh, God, we'll stop right there. Part three. Oh, God is good. And see, the next time I talk, it was supposed to be your Father's Day. And see, they wouldn't. I was supposed to move on, and I'd already start planning a sermon for. All right. Well, okay. God bless you. That's it for today. So again, start asking yourself and telling yourself you're blessed, and help others to remind themselves they're blessed.